For 7 weeks, the Constellation had been plunging through hyperspace with her 8,000 colonists, fleeing like a hunted thing with her communicators silenced and her drives moaning and thundering. Up in the control room, Irene had been told the needles of the dials danced against the red danger lines day and night. She lay in bed and listened to the muffled, ceaseless roar of the drives and felt the singing vibration of the hull. "We should be almost safe by now," she thought. "Athena is only 40 days away." Thinking of the new life awaiting them all made her too restless to lie still any longer. She got up to sit on the edge of her bed and switch on the light. Dale was gone. He had been summoned to adjust one of the machines in the ship's X-ray room, and Billy was asleep, nothing showing of him above the covers but a crop of brown hair and the furry nose of his ragged teddy bear. She reached out to straighten the covers gently so as not to awaken him. It happened then, the thing they had all feared. From the stern of the ship came a jarring, deafening explosion. The ship lurched violently, girders screamed, and the light flicked out. In the darkness, she heard a rapid-fire thunk-thunk-thunk as the automatic guard system slid intercompartment doors shut against sections of the ship suddenly airless. The doors were still thudding shut when another explosion came from toward the bow. Then there was silence, a feeling of utter quiet and motionlessness. The fingers of fear enclosed her, and her mind said to her, like the cold, unpassionate voice of a stranger, "The Gurns have found us." The light came on again, a feeble glow, and there was the soft, muffled sound of questioning voices in other compartments. She dressed, her fingers shaking and clumsy, wishing that Dale would come to reassure her, to tell her that nothing really serious had happened, that it had not been the Gurns. It was very still in the little compartment, strangely so. She had finished dressing when she realized the reason. The air circulation system had stopped working. That meant the power failure was so great that the air regenerators themselves were dead. And there were 8,000 people on the Constellation who would have to have air to live. The attention buzzer sounded shrilly from the public address system speakers that were scattered down the ship's corridors. A voice she recognized as that of Lieutenant Commander Lake spoke. "War was declared upon Earth by the Gurn Empire 10 days ago. 2 Gurn cruisers have attacked us, and their blasters have destroyed the stern and bow of the ship. We are without a drive and without power, but for a few emergency batteries. I am the Constellation's only surviving officer, and the Gurn commander is boarding us to give me the surrender terms. None of you will leave your compartments until ordered to do so. Wherever you may be, remain there. This is necessary to avoid confusion and to have as many as possible in known locations for future instructions. I repeat, you will not leave your compartments." The speaker cut off. She stood without moving and heard again the words, "I am the Constellation's only surviving officer." The Gurns had killed her father. He had been second in command of the Dunbar expedition that had discovered the world of Athena, and his knowledge of Athena was valuable to the colonization plans. He had been quartered among the ship's officers, and the Gurn blast had destroyed that section of the ship. She sat down on the edge of the bed again and tried to reorient herself, to accept the fact that her life and the lives of all the others had abruptly, irrevocably been changed. The Athena colonization plan was ended. They had known such a thing might happen. That was why the Constellation had been made ready for the voyage in secret, and had waited for months for the chance to slip through the ring of Gurn spy ships. That was why she had raced at full speed, with her communicators silenced so there would be no radiations for the Gurns to find her by.